Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. We started a series recently on the Sermon on the Mount. And let's find out how good the pastor taught you. It was preached, give you two choices, in the valley or on top of a mountain. The Sermon on the Mount. You ready? All right, shout it out. The correct answer is, if you need to get help or get a lifeline, you can, or you can get audience to help you. All right, it's on the mount, all right? And so that's what we're going to look at for just a moment. Yeah, if you'd be so kind, if you do own a cell phone, could you please find it, number one, and then number two, put it on vibrate or off. And I think that would honor the Lord. It's always the people that have a cell phone 10 feet in the bottom of their purse. It goes off, and they're paying attention to church, and they have no idea it's their cell phone. So please help us with that. A little of the background to the message. I'm going to speak quickly because I've got 3 hours of message to speak in about 30 minutes. And so if you can listen fast, I can speak fast, okay? So here it is. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is not speaking to non-Christians here. The Sermon on the Mount is 3 chapters, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. He has told them he wants them to be happy, the Beatitudes, the blessings. And then at the end of his sermon, he says, a wise man built his house on a rock. It had a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. A person that builds their life on Jesus and the Bible, they will go through storms, but they'll make it through. And then he says, but a foolish person builds their life without a foundation. It's all about show. It's all about image. It's how they appear to others. And there's nothing below the surface. There's no foundation. He says those people will also go through storms, and their lives will collapse. And so that's this. Is there something wrong with this, Alan? It's still the same? Okay. And so the question is this. Pastor, what if you built your life on the fading fads of this world? And then you get saved or you get right with God and you've built your life wrong. What do you do then? Well, here's what God says. Your life is too valuable just to trash it or demolition the building. There's valuable materials. Here's what you do. You'd retrofit. God sees the valuable areas, and he puts in the earthquake proofing, and he puts in all the metal and all the things that are needed. And so there's 13 retrofits in the Sermon on the Mount. 13 areas. He says, now you better fix this, or you're not going to have a great life. Guess which one is first out of all the retrofits? Guess what subject? Are you ready? Anger. It's the very first one. Look, two people just left. I'm mad about this. And so let's just look at the text here, and we'll go from there. And I hope everyone will just listen, because you're going to need this now. All of us are either the givers of anger, or we've been recipients of anger. And if you have been hurt in your lifetime by the anger of others, you know how painful it is. And some of you are still dealing with debris and the fallout from someone else's anger. Now, you don't want to become that person. Some of you grew up in very angry homes where there was a lot of displays of anger. And there was fear and danger. And you said, my home's never going to be like this. Well, what we have to say today will help you make it so your home is not like that. You do not have to have a home how you were reared. And so we're going to talk about that. So notice here in Matthew 5, Jesus says here, looking down into verse number 21. Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Now, he's not talking about animals to eat at McDonald's. He's not talking about a fly or roaches. He's talking about murder. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, Jesus always tightened the bolt he would say, in the Old Testament it says this, but now I'm here, I'm going to tighten it even more. He didn't loosen it, he tightened it. He says in verse 2, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that means empty-headed fool. Hey, now I've given you something fun. There you go. Go to work tomorrow. See your boss. Hey, man, Raca, that's what I think of you. He's going to say, hey, thanks, man. And you've called him an empty-headed fool. Oh, brother, we're going to be in all kind of trouble tomorrow. I can see it. He says, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. So he's talking about you're angry at somebody. Verse 23, notice how thorough Jesus goes through this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, or your brother, or someone is angry at you. See, it goes both sides. You can be angry at someone. There may be someone angry at you. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. See, God is into that, folks. What we do, we cut people off. What we do, we write people off. What we do, we trash them on the internet. See, we don't want justice, we want vengeance. And if we're not careful, that's how we do things. God said, no. I want you reconciled. I want you to make it right with your parents. I want you to make it right with that brother or sister. I want you to make it right with your neighbor. I want you to be right with that person at work. He said, well, he's going to have to help me with this. Verse 25, agree with thine adversary. You say, well, they're my enemy. Agree with thine adversary. Look at God's word, quickly. Deal with it quickly. Settle it quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. The first subject he deals with, the danger of anger. A-N-G-E-R, one letter, put a D in front of it, now it's danger. I don't know of any emotion that has damaged relationships as much as the emotion of anger. Not one. We're going to talk about it. Might not be a lot of shouts and hallelujahs, and that's okay. Some sermons are like surgery. You don't go into surgery, doc, hallelujah, glory to God. It's like, am I going to live? And I'll just tell you up front, you're going to live. You'll get through the sermon. But sometimes we need this for a little retrofitting in our lives, okay? Father, bless now this brief time we have. Help us in Jesus' name, amen. Our nation as a whole is reaping a lot of things that have contributed to anger. Our world is now reaping, if you've turned on the news, from atheism to our beliefs, disbelief in the Bible, lack of church attendance, financial pursuits, if it feels good philosophy, do it. The nation owes you a living. There's no judgment day. There's no afterlife. That contributes to this thing of anger. It comes out in things like road rage, school fights, sports riots, aggressive nations, gangs, domestic abuse, murders, rap, angry music, angry words, angry gestures, and in America, we even have angry birds. Riots, looting, unprovoked attacks on innocent people. Several years ago, one of my daughters and I were making a visit, and someone had visited our church, so I chased down the address. It was just right into another city from here. And as we pulled into the neighborhood, my car window was down. I could hear them. Not music, not television. I could hear the yelling, the cussing, the screaming. It was so vulgar and volatile. I thought when we pulled up, someone was going to come crashing out of the second story window. There were threats. I mean, it was like eight people living in that house. And I looked at my daughter. I said, you ever hear all these words before? She said, some of them are new to me. And so we went. I rang the doorbell. You couldn't hear the doorbell. I started beating on the door. You couldn't hear me. I tried to wait for them to breathe in between screaming at each other. I was beating on the door. 5 minutes. Finally, it got quiet. The door opened. Oh, it's the pastor. It's not a good time right now, pastor. I said, I kind of figured that. We'll come back some other time. Folks, you don't have to live that way. God intended that doormat to be honest, home, sweet home. The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. You need not turn to it if you take a note, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Why are people so angry? They're angry on the highways. They're angry in school. They're angry. Some of them are angry in church, and some of them are angry at the job, and some of them are angry in our homes. It says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cards from us. In other words, we don't want anyone telling us what to do. Then the Bible says, then shall he speak in his wrath. Anger is one step away from murder. I'm not going to ask you. When you were a kid, did you ever get so mad at one of your brothers or sisters? It was like, if I could, I would kill them. That's why Jesus starts this passage. He said, I've told you it's a sin to murder, but let me tell you, it's a sin to be angry, out of control. You say, well, pastor, what are you getting at? God does have anger. God is angry at our actions. Love and anger, you have to have them. God loves us, so that means he must be angry at anything that threatens our relationship with him. Anger hurts us physically. It destroys our physical body more than fear, anxiety, worry, or any other emotion. Out of control anger leads us to heart attacks, strokes, built up cholesterol in our systems. It destroys our ability to make wise decisions. You ever see someone so angry, they started saying and doing things and deciding to make some decisions that were irrational? Why? When you're out of control angry, you're destroying your ability to make sound decisions. The Bible says about God's angry, his anger is kindled. Now, what that means is this. He doesn't get angry at the drop of a hat. It's like lighting a fuse. God's upset, but he takes his time. That word kindled is used a lot in the Bible. Exodus 4, Numbers 11. You say, but pastor, the God I serve has never been angry, okay? So when the world flooded and everyone drowned, you'd think that may have been some of God's anger. When Korah criticized the man of God, Moses, and God opened the earth, and Korah fell into the center of the earth, and God closed it. You think God may have been a little bit angry. When Miriam criticized the leader, which happened to be her brother Moses, and all of a sudden she came down with leprosy immediately, do you think that maybe God was a little angry at her? You say, well, pastor, well, that's God in the Old Testament. What about Jesus, meek and lowly Jesus? Well, he's in the temple flipping over the money changers' tables. Why? Because they had turned the temple from a house of prayer into just a place of selling things. And he was angry. When they brought the children to Jesus, and they said, no, the kids can't come to Jesus. He's busy. He was angry. And it said, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me. So, the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. There were some things that made him angry. In the book of Revelation, if you dare read it, Revelation 14, 15, 16, and 19. The people during the tribulation after the rapture, they keep saying this, hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. And it uses the word wrath about a dozen times. Why? Revelation is God taking his anger out on planet Earth during that time. Now, you say, but Pastor, what in the world does that mean? It means this. God makes a way to his anger. Let me just say this quickly. And I've got a little tool here. So God has a tool chest of emotions. Sometimes he's angry. Sometimes he is loved. Sometimes, and all the time, really. But he uses them as an action. Okay, well, let's back up here. How many of you have a hammer somewhere at your house or in your truck or in your vehicle right now? It's not on you right now, but you have a hammer, okay? Now, my question is this. So where is it? I brought mine. This isn't the only one. Look. I know this is a beginner hammer. Ask someone, bring me a hammer for my sermon. That's what they brought me. It's embarrassing. So where's yours? Why didn't you bring it? See, here's what God does. Sodom and Gomorrah, wicked city. I'm going to send angels to warn them. I'm going to try to stop. Man, I got to burn up that city. So he walked over, picks up that hammer, uses his hammer, and then he puts it back down. Now he's God is love. God does not keep the hammer of judgment in his hand all the time. He would rather love, he'd rather give mercy, he'd rather give his grace, but sometimes he will use it, but he doesn't have it. It's not like the Allah God who is angry all the time, ready to send the... No, that's not him. But it's just a tool. Now, some people have anger, and there is a time to be angry. The Bible says be slow to anger. A burglar's breaking in your house, and he's lifting the window, and he's wanting to harm your family and kidnap your kids. You need to be angry. I like what the Amish person said. A burglar broke in their house. They had a gun. They said, I mean to do thee no harm, but thou art standing where I'm about to shoot. There's a time to be angry. Some kidnappers trying to get your kid in their car. Man, there is a time to be angry. Government's trying to take away your rights for a lot of things. It's time to be angry. Someone's invading a country that did not provoke it. We ought to be angry. I mean, there's a lot of things to be angry about. So it's okay to be angry, but it's not okay when we are angry. Some people carry the tool of anger everywhere they go. They carry it home from work. They kick the door, kick the wife, kick the kids, holler and scream, supper. Here's the hammer. Some people carry it to work. They don't get along with anybody. They're angry. They're upset all the time. Some people join a church. They carry the hammer to church. They don't get along with anybody. They're angry at everybody. So you kind of follow me here? Say, Pastor, I got dressed up for this. Wow. If you just knew what I had still to say. It comes out in our words. Jesus said, angry, and if he say. It says, grievous words stir up anger. Wise men pass over a transgression. What's that mean? If we're a wise person, someone can cross a line, and we still got self-control. A wise person is not soon angry. Let me just call the roll just quickly here. Cain, angry at his brother, so he killed him. Saul, King Saul, angry at David, threw a spear, tried to kill him. Saul of Tarsus, angry at the Christians, he killed many of them. Nebuchadnezzar, angry at the three Hebrew boys, he threw them in the fire to kill them. The religious leaders who didn't like Jesus, they set out to destroy or kill him. Esau, upset at his brother, said, I'm going to kill him. See, the anger turned to murder. Jezebel, angry at the preacher, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. And on and on and on we could go. Little boy asked his mother, said, Mama, how come it's when you drive, everyone's nice, but when daddy drives, everyone is a stupid idiot? with a guy in the church years ago, and he lived with his girlfriend, and him and her were fighting all the time. It was a great relationship, just great. They loved to fight and scream and holler at each other, call each other names all the time. And so they're sitting in church, and I'm talking about being out of control. And during church, he called her a fool. And I said, something about if somebody's out of control, they're a fool. And he turned and said, "You're a fool." She looked at him and said, "You're a fool." I mean, it's right in the middle of church. Well, he got upset at her one day, picked up his cigarette lighter, and flung it at her. She turned, hit her right in the eye. She lost her eye. He got 5 years of prison because he caused someone to lose an organ. Anger, 5 years in prison. I've never told this story publicly. So many of you would have 100 times worse story than this one. But I remember my brother, I just have one brother. During the hippie days, he was going to look like John Lennon. He had grown his hair long, and he wore the sandals, and he had a pair of cutoffs, split them all the way up, had to lace them up with leather laces. I said, "Tommy, you look stupid." And so he's doing all that. He's got his guitar. He's the Jose Feliciano of our day. And some of you wouldn't understand that, or Donovan. They call me Mellow Yellow. And so he's the doors in our house are open, and my dad was not real close to us at the time. And I heard him say, "Dad, can you buy me a new guitar?" "Son, I don't have money for a new guitar." "But Dad, I need a new guitar." And I'm thinking, "Tommy, shut up. You know, be quiet." "Son, I don't have money for a new guitar." "But Dad, everybody else got a new guitar." "I don't have money for a new guitar." "But Dad, can I get a new guitar?" Next thing I knew, and I'm in my bedroom, all the lights are off, I hear my dad grab my brother's guitar as he smashed it into a million pieces against the door. I'd never seen my dad do anything like that. You know what I did? I pulled the covers up over my head and just cried all night long. I thought, next he's going to pick me up and smash me against the door. I wonder if it's at that moment my brother never had a relationship with my dad again. And he never did. Always distant until the last years of my dad's life. Anger, the destroyer. And then my dad says, "And pick up all the pieces and put it in the garbage." Not only was his guitar smashed, but now he had to pick up the trash my dad made. Then my brother, he wouldn't keep his mouth shut. "Can I keep the strings? Tommy, shut up." It was just like, it wasn't my brother that provoked the busted guitar. There was anger brewing in my dad long before that. Dad was carrying the hammer to bed. He carried the hammer everywhere he went. Some people get angry. Some people are angry. Now, let me say this quickly if you're single here and you're shopping around. "None in this church." Well, they might be at that church down there. "None in that church." Well, there's a church around the corner. The Bible says, an angry and contentious woman. It talks about the danger of anger in the home. Let me say to the ladies here, make sure before you marry someone, you see them at their boiling point. If they're kicking the car on Monday, they're going to kick you. If they get angry and start throwing things, one day they're going to throw something at you. If she gets angry at the drop of a hat and starts screaming and hollering, if you're married to a screamer, they'll be screaming at you. You don't want to marry an angry person. You want home sweet home. You want peace. You don't want yelling and screaming and slam doors and throwing things and cursing and all that and locked door. You don't want that. Jesus gives us something better. I must hasten. It is quiet. I told you. Look. You can hear a pin drop. It's addictive. Soon we live in denial. "I'm not angry. I said, I'm not angry. We tell everybody how angry we're not. I just want to remind you, we are accountable for our actions and our words when we're angry. The Bible says a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. That means when someone does something while they're angry, you make sure they get what they deserve for that. Don't hold back. Oh, he was insane when he did. Oh, he killed 9 people. But he was angry. So, okay. Well, I understand. No, they still have to pay. Because the Bible says, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You rescue him from this aftermath, and he's going to do the same thing. You're going to have to rescue him again. Hey, let them pay for what they did. They got angry, and they slapped the police officer, put him in jail. Well, he was upset. I know. Now the law is upset. The Bible says, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Men, I'm just going to say this. Better for you to never get married and live out in the woods than to marry a woman that is angry at you every time you turn around. Well, who am I going to marry, Pastor? The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Here's what he's saying. If someone's got anger issues, that's not the only issues they have. It's more. You say, well, what is anger then? It's supposed to simply be a tool, and I've given you this illustration before. So years ago, I could point in the direction. I know the house. I know who the people are. With some people that had been saved out of a life of drugs. They had started coming to church. They got clean. They got victory. I think one of them sang in the choir. They were doing great. Husband and wife. They had kids. One day, the wife calls me and said, Pastor, I opened a drawer in the house while my husband was at work today and found a bag of dope. She said, I'm not going back there. I'm not going to live under the bridge. We're not going to be homeless. We're not going through all this stuff. What do I do? I said, okay. You're not going to like it. I said, as soon as he walks through the door, I want you to hold up the bag of dope and say, look what I found. And I want you to be in the kitchen and open the cabinet. And I want you to smash every dish in the cabinets. Don't throw them at him. I just want you to say, we smash, or smash, not gonna smash, take our kids, smash through this, we got saved, smash, we're not gonna go back. I want you to smash every dish you've got. She said, Pastor, I said, you want to lose your family again? She said, okay. Oh, about 5:30 that night, I get a phone call. From him. Real sheepish, not the deep voice. Pastor. What? I don't know what happened, lie number one. I just came home and my wife just flipped out and smashed all the dishes. Yelling and screaming. I said, yes. I said, why would she do that? He said, can I talk to you? I need some help. Anger's just a tool. The parents, I want to say this. You'll never raise good kids if you don't have a good game face and an angry face. Not all the time. But when you discipline your children, it can't be, let's go to the bedroom, and it's time to get a spanking. Bend over, Mr. Rogers is here. It ought to be, go to your bedroom now. Let those eyebrows wrinkle. You know what you did? We got a rule. You're not supposed to be choking your brother for 5 minutes at a time. Don't hold his head in the toilet for 3 hours. Didn't do it. Now, when the spanking's over, it's hug, pray, ask God to forgive him, and you're done. Get a football. Let's go throw it in the yard. It ends. Some of your parents and my parents, they never ended the spanking. They didn't know how. No one ever trained them. It's, go to your bedroom after the spanking. Stay there. No supper till tomorrow. You know, God doesn't do that. When God spanks his children, it ends. And then he's our loving father the next moment. End the spanking or the discipline, whatever you're doing, and move on. See, sometimes pastors need to be angry in the pulpit. But I've been around some pastors, every sermon is angry. Mother's Day, you mothers! It's Mother's Day! It's Christmas! I hate Christmas! A woman in our choir in Louisiana years ago got so upset at her husband. They lived in a trailer park. She got on top of the roof with a chainsaw and was sawing the house in half to get back her half of the house. So here's what God says. We must give you some practical thoughts here. Now, let me just say this in passing. Is it possible the root or below the surface, the simmering anger, and you wonder, where does this all come from? Maybe it's toward God. Well, I asked him for this. He never did it. He gave so-and-so that, never gave it to me. He took this away from us. He never answered this prayer. I never got the promotion. We never got the inheritance. Everybody else is happy, and we're not happy. You know what that is, folks? It's bitterness and anger. You might not admit it. It's toward him. So when other things happen and the hammer comes out, it never was all about the issues with the people. It started because you got issues with the Lord. What is it he didn't give you? What is it you're upset at him about? Had an honest lady in the church one time. I know there's more than one, but she said, Pastor, I cussed God out today. I just told him, I'm so angry at you. Now, you may have done that. You can ask forgiveness and move on with life. But are you still this way with him? Lady sat in my office. She said, God doesn't love me as much as he loves the other women. Everybody in our church has children and babies. We can't even have a child. What's wrong with that? It's interesting. Jacob's wife, Rachel, couldn't have kids. All his other three wives did. You know, I'm thinking, if the other three have them, isn't that enough? No, I'm just. But she is angry. She said, give me children, else I die. Then Jacob got angry. He says, it's not my place. God, children are a heritage of the Lord. I am not the one that creates life. He got angry being told to. So where does this anger come from? Well, one, God tells us not to be soon angry. He that is slow to wrath. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Tell you who the great hero is. It's not the MMA wrestler. It's not the cage fighter. It's not the basketball shooter. It's the one that's slow to anger. It's the one that doesn't get in a fight at the drop of a hat. It's the one that doesn't have a short fuse. It's the one that doesn't blame their anger and say, well, this is how our family is, or this is how we are. No, it's slow to anger. We're not to be soon angry. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Number two, we're not to be with the angry. And that's why parents ought to be careful who you let your kids hang around. You let them hang around angry people, that's what gangs are. They're angry boys. I know there's girls in gangs too. But for the most part, they're angry boys who have a missing dad. Dad was never there for him, or missing, or passed away, or they never knew who he was, or he was non-involved, and there's this anger, and now they're all together. The Bible says, be not with the angry, lest thou learn their ways. Number three, we're not to be long angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, do not go to bed angry. Now let me say this to the married couples. That's to you too. Is too, is not, is too, is not. Slam door, lock door. Hey, the door is locked. Sleep on the couch. It's a sin to go to bed angry. Resolve it. Talk it through. Well, I get up early in the morning. Better to talk all night long and have a clean conscience when you leave the house and kiss that mate goodbye. That's where affairs start. It's tension, unresolved anger. Now we're not talking. Now no communication. And then they show up at work. Who's they? That good-looking guy. We don't have any here, but I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what's that? The other offices. Well, that beautiful woman, she shows up. Then temptation comes. You got to resolve it. Don't let your kids go to bed angry at night. Slam door, lock door. I'm mad. I can't do this. Don't let them do that. There was a lady, and I use that word loosely, that used to attend our church many, many years ago. And I knew she had issues. I just knew it. I'm talking to someone in the fellowship hall. You know, I'm trying to give a little counsel, kind of hear them out. She just kind of walks up, butts in, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, just a minute, and let me just kind of finish up here. You always, you never. She starts screaming at me. You never have time to talk. I mean, screaming all the way. I'm saying, oh, what is going on? Security, security. And she heads out screaming all the way out, gets in her car. I'm thinking, what? I just said, let me finish speaking to this person. I did not warrant that. Hammer woman. We're going to start giving out T-shirts in our church. Hammer woman. Hammer man. Her husband sheepishly came up to me before they left church that day. He says, you see what I have to put up with? 20 years. That's what I have to put up with. She is like that. She is so angry. I said, Pastor, what did you do? I went home, and thank God my wife was not like her. I came home, honey. I'm home. Pastor, she probably had a chemical imbalance. She had a lot of chemicals imbalanced. Not soon angry, quickly. Not with the angry, quickly. Not long angry. Next, don't provoke to anger. God says it's a process. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3 says it's anger. Then it goes to wrath. Now look at this one. Then it goes to malice. And then blasphemy. Anger can be brewing inside. Wrath means now it's open. Now everyone's seeing the wrath. Then malice. Here's what malice is. Rejoicing when something bad happens to someone you're angry with. God hates that. We're never to rejoice when bad things happen to anybody. Well, good. They got in the car wreck. Oh, they got fired. Good. They deserve it for what they did to me. It doesn't sit still. It destroys. So, Pastor, since we got a minute left, what are the sources of anger? Where is this coming from? If I'm battling in my kids, if I'm battling in my family, if my parents are that way, if I'm that way, where is this coming from? I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, pride. Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Haman got angry because people didn't bow to him. Herod got angry at the wise men because they didn't come back like he told them to. Naaman got angry because he didn't get to pick which river he got baptized in. All these people, pride. Now, folks, let me remind you, anything better than hell is bonus. Well, they unfriended me on Facebook, and I will never forgive them. They did not give me a thumbs up on my little post. They took my parking spot when I was pulling into the church. Folks, listen, look. Isn't it amazing? If we're not careful, the whole world has to revolve around us. See, this morning there are thousands of people fleeing for their life, 120,000 refugees trying to get out of the Ukraine, bombs are dropping, innocent people are dying. We, if we're not careful, we don't get real upset over that, but we get real upset because our rights have been crossed. Thousands and thousands of innocent babies will be killed in our country this year, much of it funded by government money. Why don't we get upset over that? No, but we're real upset. My kid got a D in the Christian school. Well, good. It's a letter better than they deserve. They should have got an F. Well, at least it was a D+. Pride, quickly. Past. Sometimes it's an injustice. We feel like justice wasn't done. Folks, listen. Justice can never be totally done. Because oftentimes people don't know all the facts. Jesus was crucified, died, rose again, tortured on the cross. Guess what? The soldiers haven't been judged yet. The crowd that said crucify him, they haven't even gone to judgment yet. God handles business. Well, I didn't get justice. I didn't get the raise. I didn't get this. And this should have happened. Okay. Well, you're going to have to let some of that stuff go. Okay. So I'm in third grade. I'm waiting 30 minutes for my mom to pick me up after school with this old beat up golf ball. We're just throwing it against the building at school, public school, waiting. Listen, girls, look up here. And we're just throwing the ball against the building. Our eagle-eyed teacher sees 5 miles away. The three boys are throwing rocks at the bell. We had a golf ball bouncing it against the building. They're throwing rocks at the bell. She calls us in, yells and screams. It's next to murder. And we have to write 200 lines. I am sorry, I was throwing rocks at the bell. I said, we weren't throwing rocks at the bell. She said, you'll admit it or you'll be here the rest of your life. I guess she took counseling. I saw myself with gray hair with a little cane. You know, in my mind, I'll be here the rest of my life till I'm 99 in her school classroom. So we lied. Okay, we threw rocks at the bell. Can we go home? 200 lines. You know, I've never forgotten that. She made a wrong call. That's why I'm a mass murderer today. Folks, you can blame all this stuff that you want to. You better get past your past. If you're living in the past, you have no present, you have no future. Some of you, it's anytime we talk to you, it's all about, 19 years ago, you remember what happened to me? And when I was a child, hey, God will give you grace. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God will help you. He will comfort you. Where's the anger coming from, Pastor? 1, pride. 2, past. 3, pain. Something happened to you. Emotional pain. Physical pain. Spiritual pain. It was the maniac of Gadara said, are you going to hurt me too? He just met Jesus. Are you here to torment me? He didn't trust anybody. Now, folks, I want to look, some people you shouldn't trust. But if you're not careful, your pain will make you not trust him. And it'll make you not trust anyone who could even help you. Pastor, I don't trust anybody. Really? And you walked into CVS and let someone stick a vaccine in your arm and you don't know their name? Hey, booster. Here we go. Okay. I got the Mofison. I got all three at once. Mofison. Okay. Anyway. Okay. What's in that? I don't know. What's your name? I don't even know. Okay. Hey, you trust people. If you get in your car today and you get on the highway, 1 out of 6 is on drugs or alcohol that's driving in California highways right now. 1 out of 6. You must have some trust. And I'm not trying to say pro or negative against vaccine. I'm just saying you trust somebody. How long you been doing vaccines? Just got hired today. It's minimum wage. Thanks, kid. Sometimes it's pain from the past. Now, let me encourage you here. If you've been struggling from something that happened to you 1,900 years ago and you can't get past it, get some help. You find some Christian who's got some wisdom, who knows this book, and if they can't tell you, here's what to do. They can send you to someone who can, but you got to get some help, healing, and get past that thing. You have too much life still to live. Give you the rest of the points. Parents. Parents. The Bible says, neither be with the angry. Why are we so angry? Sometimes because our parents raised us. If mom was angry, her daughter's angry. As is a mother, so is her daughter. If our daddy was angry, oftentimes the son is angry, like father, like son. Not all the time. But sometimes we have been taught. Wife beaters, it's not in the genes. It's in the example. Grandpa beat grandma, daddy beat mama. Whoever I marry, they're going to get beat too. It's how they dealt with stuff. They didn't know how to communicate, and anger issues were there. Sometimes it's parents. Sometimes it's punks. We get around the wrong crowd. We get around the wrong friends, and they push the buttons, and they make us angry, and we get angry together. Sometimes we get provoked. And that's why I always tell kids on the way to camp and conferences and things, don't touch the other people on the bus, and don't touch their stuff. It makes people angry. Leave my stuff alone. Leave me alone. Prayerlessness. We could go on and on. It says, whence come wars and fightings among us? We have not because we ask not, because of lack of prayer. Pressure. Taking on responsibility. Judging areas that are not ours. Pornography. Oftentimes, they will find people who are mass murderers, and they'll go to their apartments. They'll find all kind of pornography around the house. How come? Viewing those type sites that cannot be fulfilled brings anger and frustration. Not all the time, but oftentimes they find that. Then sometimes people are angry because they are possessed. I'm just going to say this. I don't know Mr. Putin. I don't know him. But I know this about him. He's a lot like Adolf Hitler. The guy, very keen on the propaganda and all these lies. We're going to take over here, and you better not mess with us, or we'll nuke you. The guy is possessed. Much like the 9/11 guys that flew planes into our buildings, and they cried out, Ali Akbar, and they praised the name of their false god, and here we go. If we can just kill all those people, we'll have eternal life on our own planet. Sometimes people are just possessed with Satan. That's who they are. And I'm almost done. You say, well, Pastor, what would Jesus know about anger? Was he ever hurt like I have been hurt? Pastor, if you were hurt and been through what I've been through, you would act just like me. Really? Here's what Jesus said. Or the Old Testament says, I'm coming down for the landing. Get ready. Okay, the plane's starting to come down. We're seeing the No, I think that's after you landed. Anyway, the Bible says in Isaiah, he was despised and rejected. Pastor, I've been hurt. My dad didn't want me. My parents gave me up for adoption. Why did my dad leave? Why was he never home? By the way, I had to deal with that one. My dad chased money his whole life. Never home. I don't remember one birthday my dad was ever home. I remember one Christmas, he was not at my graduation. I was valedictorian of my high school, 429 seniors. I got to lead the way. My dad was not there. He was despised. The word despised means this: look down on as if you're nothing. You ever have somebody snub you? a wealthy person, or a girl that thought she was prettier than you, or someone that thought they had a better education than you or more possessions than you, and they just, they snubbed you like you were nothing. Jesus says, that's what they did to me. They treated me like I was nothing. He understood that. It's kind of interesting. God comes to the earth, and the year he says, I'm God, and he starts healing and preaching, the people on earth said, let's kill him. There's an anger to our nature if we're unsaved. Guess what God calls unsaved people in Scripture? Are you ready? The children of wrath. That's an interesting statement. The children of anger. He healed people. Let's kill him. He preached the love of God. Let's crucify him. He fed the hungry. Let's nail his hands and feet to the cross. There was such an anger against God. He understands what you've been through. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a Savior. What an example. You say, Pastor, you preached a little bit overtime. I know, but I'm not going to preach at all tonight. So what's the answer to this? Number one, admit you've got some anger issues. You say, but I don't. Let me get around you a little bit. Let me see you after the service. Admit. It kind of comes out here. It's kind of come out here. And I don't know where it came from. Admit it. Number two, confess it to the Lord. Lord, you don't want me carrying the hammer all the time. Show me how to use it as a tool. Show me how not to destroy the relationships of my life. And I want to say this. Now, young people, if you've been the recipient of anger and rejection and you've had all this hurt, there's going to be anger in you. And you're going to have to deal with it, or you're going to carry it to your marriage. And you're going to be yelling and screaming, and you'll have a 6-month marriage and be divorced. You got to pull it up now, and he'll help you. And that's what the Christian life's all about. God does the miraculous and the supernatural. This whole world's looking for answers. Only God can give it to you. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as Savior, maybe you've been angry at him. It's time you accepted him. He loves you, gave his life on the cross, rose again. He'd do anything he could to save you. I hope you'll take what we've shared today and let's put it into practice. Heavenly Father, thank you.